the December 18th, 2017 meeting of the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. May I have roll call, please?
Director Hill.
Here.
Director Nichols.
Here.
Director White.
Here.
Mr. Hill, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I'd be honored. I might make a correction. I think I heard you say December 18th. It's actually October 18th.
Yes. Did I say October 17th?
No, I said.
Okay.
That's far from
everyone,
course.
Please stand for the flag salute. Ready, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated.
Move on to the agenda review.
Madam Chair, I have nothing. I would move acceptance of the agenda.
Neither do I.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 3-0. Excuse me. Moving on to public comment on items not appearing on the agenda. The public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present comments, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on the agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters which are within the jurisdiction of the district. The Brown Act restricts the board from taking formal action on matters not published on the agenda. In response to your comments, the chair or presiding board members may direct staff to assist in or coordinate with you, direct staff to place an issue or matter on a full board meeting agenda. Please adhere to the following procedures. Comments should be limited to 3 minutes or less. Your comments should be directed to the board as a whole and not directed to individual board members. Slanderous, profane, or personal remarks against any board member, staff, or members of the audience shall not be permitted. Thank you. Do I see anybody coming forward for public comment?
Patricia Price, Rio Grande. For over 5 years, I've come to nearly every South Sand Board meeting. My concern has always been the welfare of the South Sand District. I watched the district go from the malfeasance of the Wallace years to the vibrant and well-run district of the Clemens years. Within months after Mr. Huebner in April of 2016 began as administrator, rumors of discrimination surfaced. Grievances were filed by several employees. Investigations were started, and employees began to seek out a union. The district's legal bill skyrocketed. Two key employees were put on paid administrative leave. Mr. Huebner's management style was that of a bully. During his tenure, some of his responsibilities, the budget, the personnel policy manual update, the audit, the strategic plan, were late, inaccurate, or non-existent. The public repeatedly asked the board to curb Mr. Huebner's behavior or terminate his contract. The board majority refused. The decision to part ways with John Clemens as plant superintendent does not serve this district. Why did we pay him $150,000 to drop all claims and walk away silently? Where is the transparency? Where are the answers to the questions that the public has been asking for the past year? I am pleased Mr. Huebner's gone. I'm not pleased that he chose to leave the day after his 55th birthday so he could receive full pay and medical benefits for the rest of his life at the district's expense. What is the plan to bring the district back from the chaos Mr. Huebner created during his 14-month tenure? What is the plan? Who's operating the plant? Tell me who is in position and who is in the positions, and what are the plans for further administrative duties? What's going on concerning a plant superintendent, lab technicians, bookkeepers, We have two excellent people, Amy Simpson and John Clemens, that are capable of pulling things back together. They have not been utilized to the full extent of their capabilities. I don't know what's going on with them. Transparency, please. Like I said, my first concern is and always has been the welfare of the South Sand District. Thank you.
Thank you.
Patty Welsh. I wish everybody would move on, but obviously we're going to keep digging up the past for a while, and that's a shame. Last speaker did make one very valid point, and that is, what are we doing to replace the general manager? We've hired these two gentlemen for basically 12 meetings. This is meeting number 3. I don't even see on the agenda an RFP for replacing Mr. Huebner. Let's get it together and start doing the district's business, please. Thank you.
I'm Debbie Peterson. I'm a ratepayer, and I'm going to dig up the past. Until 2013, I had spent 4 years as a planning commissioner and a council member for the city of Grover Beach. I'm not commenting as those at this point. I'm commenting as a private ratepayer. But one of my lessons, one of the things I learned, I had relied on the advice of agency attorneys, and I understood that the attorneys didn't represent the board members. They didn't represent me. But it never occurred to me that as a board member, the responsibility for oversight also included the responsibility to apply critical thinking to the information received from the attorneys. 6 months into the mayorship of Grover Beach, I was mortified when Julie Tacker questioned the procedure that we use to review, pay, and hire an administrator for this agency, South Sand. And the outcome was great. We got a really good, got Paul Karp, but we did it wrong. We broke the law. And so I pored over the Brown Act, and I looked for a second opinion from our city attorney, and he confirmed emphatically that Ms. Tacker was correct. And so I would urge you to learn from my mistake and consider that while the attorney is not there to be manipulated by us as board members, we are charged with ensuring that our agency fulfills its commitment to interpret the law for the benefit of the institution. And by that, I don't mean the brick-and-mortar institution, but I mean the ratepayers of this district who created the district and whom it serves. Jim Hill broke no laws. But meeting after meeting after meeting, this board breaks the law by allowing their council to not properly notice closed sessions. And 3 times you've been advised of this by someone who knows what he's talking about. And I hope that as board members, you'll take that very seriously and make sure that it's being done legally. Thank you.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I find it interesting that Karen White actually reads the preamble aloud to your board agenda in that what the public can and cannot do. That statement actually violates the Brown Act. The public can slander if they so choose. So the word shall should not be there. It should be should, if indeed that's what you're after. Maybe someday, when there's nothing else to do, because I don't want your lawyer billing for it, that word should be changed. What also is not on the agenda, and it's something that I've asked for in a letter, it's been distributed to your board, is an investigation into John Scholes. John Scholes met with staff, manipulated, or worked with. I wasn't there, of course. I can't say what he did, but in light of the grievances that had been filed, and whatever he was doing, he was outside his duties as a board member to work with any staff. So I would ask that your board consider an investigation. Something else that is not on the agenda is the separation agreement with Mr. Clemens. Now, that was not on the agenda in a manner of which the public was able to follow along at your last board meeting, but clearly, whatever was done in closed session, even with no reportable action, some action took place. Something happened in that closed session. Some sort of vote took place to terminate or separate from Mr. Clemens. I am in receipt of the separation agreement. The separation agreement speaks to releasing the district of any liabilities associated with any claims that Mr. Clemens may have filed. As it turns out, Mr. Clemens, I have the claim, filed a claim with the Department of Fair Employment and Housing. So while he may have released you from liability from that, the actual separation agreement violates his rights, where in clause number 16, Mr. Clemens is precluded from attending any of your board meetings. This is America. He has First Amendment rights, and attending a public meeting anywhere, anytime, in any jurisdiction is allowed by law. I would like the answer to who voted and how for the record. I'd like that announced. How did we get to this? How did we get to a separation with Mr. Clemens? Thank you.
Mary Lucia Sciano. Contradictions just make my head spin. You know, outside Mr. Scholl's duties. Well, let's talk about Mr. Hill and how he manipulated a rate increase for all us ratepayers and then backdoored $250,000 to his bud at the plant. That's mind-boggling to me, but I have to say, you know, pretty good. That was a hip, slick, and cool move. But the next time you go for a rate increase, some of us are not going to forget how you paid your friend who you had an inappropriate relationship with $250,000 if you include that he's been on vacation for 7 months. The same person that is involved in every single investigation that this district ever had. It always circled right back to that, oh, wonderful employee, Mr. Clemens. As ratepayers, we have the right to know how broke our plant is from this person. The grit removal system, the digester, the incoming lines, the water qualities. We have a right to know how bad he left that plant and what he destroyed while his tenure was there, because Mr. Sweet hired Mr. Clemens for his first go-around. So was it just easy to fork out our money to pay the guy off to go away because he was a bad employee? Do you really, you cave to that? Last time there was a comment made about Miss Austin being on this board, and why didn't she have the audacity to stand up and vote? I am so offended by that. The one woman who actually knew that Linda was at Stanford sits over there, got up into this mic and said, oh gosh, I wonder where she's at. How insulting. Her husband is in the hospital. So, you know, shame, shame on you, Colleen.
Madam Chair, could I request that we ask the, that we address the council or the board and not comment about members of the audience, please.
Thank you.
We going to have question and answer? I guess we are.
Thank you. Colleen Kubel, I'm calming down before I say a word.
Thank you.
Okay. I did not say I knew exactly where, and I'm only answering this because she called me by name. I have the right to do that. I knew exactly where Linda was. I was concerned about her husband also. I said, which she misinterpreted, it should have been postponed so that they could have voted. That was my words, not what she just said. Now I'm going to continue. Everything that's happened here, that needs to stop. That needs to stop. Until that stops, nothing's going to go forward. everything like that, the viciousness that happens, and I'm getting vicious right now because I'm tired of that. It's got to stop. Everybody on both sides needs to stop the calling, the name calling, everything else. We need to go forward, move this plant forward, and stop the lies that she just perpetrated also. I'm not even going to say her name, okay, because that's not the right thing to do. I am telling you, it just needs to go forward, and you need to listen to every word that everybody is saying up here and not prejudge what is before you. Don't come ready to say something until you hear everything that people have to say. That's our right to give you that information. It's your right to listen to us and then make the decisions, not beforehand. And that's all I'm going to say right now in this subject. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Victorine. I want to once again bring to the attention of the board that LCW stated in their presentation of their report that the report identifies violations determined through the finding of fact. At the last two board meetings, I specifically identified three conclusions that clearly were not based on fact. Number one, on page 7, the report's finding that Director Hill acted outside of his legislative role lies solely on the district administrator's word, not fact. And in the September 20th public comment, I clearly identified two instances where the district administrator made blatantly false statements to you, the board. There is no assurance that the administrator's statements to the investigator were true. In fact, in light of the two known false statements, the administrator's testimony is highly questionable and cannot be relied upon. Number two, in regard to Director Hill acting outside of his legislative role with FTC correspondence, on page 11, the report states correspondence may be in violation of Government Code Section 1090. When questioned at the September 12th AG City Council meeting, LCW stated that it was arguably a stretch. The finding is not based on fact, but a stretch of the imagination. On page 14, the report notes the allegation of disclosure of closed session information was not sustained. And then the report states, simply because there was insufficient evidence that Mayor Hill violated the Brown Act does not mean that he will not violate the Brown Act in the future. That's not a statement of fact. It's another stretch of the imagination. Today, I'd like to call your attention to page 18 of the report regarding the accusation of serial meetings. The report states, the district board of directors includes, three directors and two alternates. The law firm is completely unaware of their client's organizational structure. After charging over $50,000, I find this inexcusable. The investigator's report does not mention serial meetings, but includes two emails, Appendix 11 and 13, where Director Hill CC'd Tim Brown. Tim Brown is Director Hill's alternate and should be kept informed of district business. Additionally, Karen White at the last district meeting stated, and I quote, as an alternate to Linda Austin, I also understand the challenge raised in the summary report that I believe wrongfully accused Mr. Hill of serial meeting discussions with Tim Brown. This statement was made just prior to her motion and vote to censor Director Hill based on the facts of the report. Since the report clearly makes less than factual statements, the entire content of the report should be questioned. I find it appalling, and so should every ratepayer, that a report that makes false accusations and is not supported by facts is used as the basis to censor Director Hill.
Thank you.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. So far tonight, I don't think that anything that's been talked about does anything positive or moves anything forward for this district. So once again, we're not tackling the issues of the district. I think the the investigation is over. Mr. Huebner is gone, and now Mr. Clemens is gone. And we paid the district, the attorney for the district, and I think we go by his rulings. And I don't think an investigation into why Clemens left or any of that information, that is just perpetuating the litigation. And we're getting out of the litigation business, I believe. So no more. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one else come forward, I'll close public comment and move on to the consent agenda.
There was one question, Madam Chair, if I could ask that of legal counsel, and that was who voted and how on the separation agreement?
Good evening, board members. The separation agreement, which was approved in closed session, was approved on a 2-1 vote with Director Hill voting no.
Thank you.
Anything else, Jim?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Move on to consent.
Move on to consent agenda.
I have some comments and questions on the consent agenda. I'd like to consider the warrants separately, and then I'll have some comments and questions about the item 5D.
Okay.
On the warrants, I want to relay that we handed out an amendment, and all that is, and there's copies here, and we highlighted it, is there was account numbers missing from two of the warrants, and we've now put those in the warrants. So that's nothing else changed, just the addition of the appropriate account numbers.
Any questions on the warrants?
No, I don't.
Mr. Hill?
My comment on the warrants, again, is that we have over $25,000 worth of legal fees, which, again, I find unsustainable. So I'm not prepared to support that this evening. So that people can understand some of my reservations on this, there's been a number of investigations conducted on behalf of the district, I presume, and none of those have come to the board or been approved by the board, save for the investigation that was done into myself. So there was one other investigation into another individual's conduct, but there's been many other investigations, none of which have been approved by the board, and the board has never seen any work product, yet we get these very large legal bills, and I'm very concerned about that there is no, being an individual with the fiduciary responsibility to look after the district's funds, when I continue to see multi-thousand dollar bills with effectively no explanation, I can't support that.
I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the warrants.
Yes, I move that we approve the warrants as...
Oh, I'm sorry. I do it all the time. Before we have a vote, I'd call for public comment.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and as Mayor Hill just said, the combined total of your general counsel, Trujillo and Stockton, is just under $26,000 for the month. While we say get out of the litigation business, it doesn't seem to ring true over at their offices, and they continue to bill
for things that I don't think had a very good outcome. I also have to note that Mr. Sweet is $13,305 this month. Surely Mr. Karp is going to have some for this sometime for this month also. So we're well over what a full-time manager was supposed to cost. I'm not surprised because there's a lot of cleanup to do. Mr. Huebner was incompetent in his position. These warrants, what's not on here is the Shannon Sweeney matter, and I was hoping Mr. Sweet would explain. We've had a very kind dialogue over last meeting. Your board approved Shannon's warrant or her invoice that took her over the amount of the contract. I don't know how you do that when the contract is a contract is a contract. I don't believe it's legal to pay somebody more than their contract allows for. So your board approved it. I don't think Mr. Hill did, but the other of you approved the expenditure over the amount of the contract, and perhaps you just need to see the contract, the proposal, the scope of work, and what exactly is Ms. Sweeney doing for this board. My last comment, and it's while it's not here, I'd like to be assured that the Liebert-Cassidy bills have ceased. Are we done with them? And the reason I ask is I did get a public records request from the city of Arroyo Grande for the Liebert-Cassidy work done there. We were assured in their public meeting that the LCW bills there would not exceed $24,000, and they are $37,000, in excess of $37,000. So I think Liebert-Cassidy has a little fibbing problem, and your board should be looking at those invoices that are coming to you as well, because it's going to be more than the lady suggested it would.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Mary Lucio Ciano. I actually understand why the legal bills are high when you have an employee who runs rogue and you have to draw up contracts and you have to constantly negotiating. You have legal counsel who does that, all that work. These contracts just don't mysteriously pop up and make themselves. So I totally understand having to do the HR work, having to do the negotiations. It takes hours and hours of preparation. So I'm fine with that. I think Liebert-Cassidy and Whitmore did an excellent job considering the mess they were handed for all of the investigations that occurred. But I still would like a cost analysis of the damage of the plant, a clear reporting of that. And if that is included in Mr. Sweet's salary, then we would like to see that, some justification, and get a job announcement out ASAP.
Just one point of correction on a previous comment. I was on the board when the superintendent Clemens was hired, and in fact it was under Mr. Karp's leadership that he was hired, although I believe Mr. Sweet was advising as an expert advisor. And I just wanted to talk a little bit again about legal fees. $26,000 this month. Back in 2004, 2005, 2006, and 2007, it ran about $33,000 to $36,000 a year, and we're at $26,000 a month. And just to put it in perspective, we have, I believe, 11 employees all together at the district. Grover Beach, with 60, 70 employees, their legal fees run $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 a month. We're double that with one-eighth the number of employees. And I do have these record of past legal fees. If anybody wants to look at the record, I'll leave them outside on the desk.
If you Thank could you. Provide them to me so I can make sure I have a copy for the record.
Some of them are two-sided as well.
Okay.
Pat Welsh. A speaker did say that they had a nice conversation with Rick Sweet. I'm wondering, how do we get in touch with Rick Sweet? I called the sanitation district the other day, left my name, left a phone number, haven't heard anything. It'd be nice to get calls back. Thank you.
I will make sure you get my number.
I just have one quick comment in regards to Wendy Stockton's bills. I understand I talked to her, and part of the she's working with the district attorney, and I'm not sure about her role. She said that the district attorney requested her assistance, and I'm not sure. It seems to me that we should probably separate out her legal fees of what is the assistance to the DA and what are her just general duties at the district.
Shall we move on with the warrants?
Yeah.
I believe it was moved and seconded. Wasn't it, Jim?
I believe it was.
So let's call for a roll call. You want a roll call?
Yes.
Roll call vote?
Yes. Director Hill?
No.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Do we want to break the minutes up from the financial reports, or do we want to run that all together?
We can do that.
Because you had some questions on the...
Yeah, I have some comments on...
Okay, let's just move on to approval of the minutes for the special meeting of September 28th. Let's do them separate because we've got a conflict there, too.
I would move approval as presented.
Wasn't here, so I can't vote on it. Yeah, well,
and I haven't read it through because I've got my agenda very
before late. We go any further, I think we do have a conflict on the special meeting because neither one of us was there. You want to hold it for the next meeting?
Good evening. If you have reviewed the videotape of the meeting and can attest to the minutes reflecting what was said during the public comment portion of the meeting, then you may vote to approve them tonight. If you have not reviewed the tape, then you should continue to the next meeting.
I have not reviewed the tape.
Nor have I.
So we'll continue that till the next meeting. Move on to the approval of minutes for the regular meeting of October 4th, 2017. Public comment.
October 4th.
What happened to public?
They continued.
Just continue.
Oh, just
well,
continue.
The public gets to speak to whatever. The problem with that, just I'll make a quick note. The problem with the 28th is there was no videotape. It was a closed session. So there's no way that your alternates, if that indeed is the benchmark for approval, is that you have to watch the tape. There's no tape. That can't be done. With regard to the meeting minutes of October 4th, I just wanted to underscore the need to retroactively apply the censure to Ms. Lucy. It's really interesting, something that's come to light in the separation agreement of Mr. Clemens and the complaint to the Department of Fair Employment and Housing, he actually cites the email that she used in her argument to censure Mr. Hill, which then she dropped. But that email is also the same email that is subject in the Lieber-Cassidy investigation of Mr. Hill. That same email is the email that I continue to ask the district to provide, and now it appears through conversation, email conversations, so you can ask for them, their public record. Email conversations with Mr. Sweet tell me that he's gone to the extra length to engage your IT expert, and the email is gone. The district doesn't have it anymore.
That's against the law. That's against the law. Public records are not to be destroyed without the board knowing what's being destroyed as part of your records retention policy. So, that is food for thought. And the reason I say that is food for thought is you, alternate board members, censured Mayor Hill based on the incomplete data from Lieber Cassidy Whitmore. That document that Mr. Hill was asking that the district comply in providing has been destroyed illegally. So I ask that you consider rescinding your censure of Mayor Hill at this time. The Shannon Sweeney item is referenced in these October 4th meeting minutes, and again, I'd ask Mr. Sweet to comment on that. I'd also like to see the Stuart Jenkins letters and the memo that was presented to your board at the last meeting be part of your website. They are not. And lastly, the closed session comments of Mary Lucy, as I recall, she suggested similarly tonight that Mayor Hill was negotiating a contract on behalf of his buddy in that closed session. There is no way we know what was going on in that closed session. I'd like to know how she knew that there was a separation agreement on the table in there. How did she know that? Because it is not specified in the agenda item, and nor was it spoken about by your legal counsel in public session.
Those were comments on the
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. So once again, we're off on censure this person, go back to the past. It's over with. Let's move on the job of the district. And I'd ask the chair to ask the public to please be quiet while I'm speaking. I think that's only fair. It's rude when people are talking. They get their 3 minutes, but they can't afford that courtesy to other people. And I would like to ask whether the attorney can address, again, the issue of Mr. Jenkins' letter, that it can be on the record without being on the website. So moving on. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I think we're on the minutes.
Yes. Yes.
I was just waiting to be sure. But entertain a motion that we approve the minutes for the meeting of October 4th, 2017.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. I guess we didn't need a roll call, did you?
The next item is the financial review.
Yes.
As of August 31st, 2017.
Okay, Madam Chair, with your...
Yes.
It might be more illustrative on the whiteboard here. I asked during the meeting of August 2nd when we presented the last... as you know, every month we have the financial summary for the district. And I asked the same question during the meeting of August, but I'm not sure the question was well understood at the time. So I wanted to draw it out here. First of all, I had in mind from the district's financial report as of June 30th, 2016, 1 year prior, that was presented July 26th of 2016. We had cash balances in the local agency investment fund of $2.4 million and change the San Luis Obispo Treasury pool of $3,026,000 and change, Rabobank balance of $101,000 and change. So the cash balance is presented in the end of fiscal year on July 30th, 2016. $547,209. The financial review then, as of June 30th, 2017, which was presented just August 2nd when I first asked the question, showed total revenue for the district fiscal year to date $4.994 million, district expenses fiscal year to date $4,080,000. For an excess of revenue over expenses of $914,332. That's cumulative through 2017. If we add that excess of revenue over expenses to the cash balance at the beginning of the year, we would expect the cash balance of the district to be $6,461,541. But the cash balance that was actually presented to the board at that time, actual cash balance on 6/30 of 17, was this. Which is a difference of $658,000. That I asked for an accounting of, and if I recall, Mr. Huebner asked where I got my numbers, and I replied they were his numbers because they came from the reports to the board. So cumulatively through 2017, my question, and I'll reiterate it, I believe Mr. Karp was here, but not Mr. Sweet at the time, is please account for the difference there, the $658,916 over 2017. Today we're looking at the August 31st results, and we have total revenue fiscal year to date of $404,575. That's August year to date. So to figure out what happened in August, we have to take off the revenue from July, which was $168,665. So we'll subtract that out. That was July. And so the revenue, actual revenue, was $235,910 in August. The August cumulative fiscal year-to-date expenses were $734,178. And so to find out what happened in August, we have to subtract out again the July expenses. That was $381,129. So the expenses for August were $353,049. So we had, if we look at the actual revenue in August, $235,000. The expenses in August, $353,000. There was a deficit in August of $117,139. Okay, so we'll remember that deficit for August, $117,139. And going back to the cash balance at the end of July of 2017 as presented to the board in the summary report, the cash balance at the end of July was $5.59 million. Okay. So looking at our cash position at the end of August, we would subtract the $117,000 deficit from our starting cash balance. And we get $5,478,021 is what we would expect the cash balance to be. But was actually reported to the board as the cash balance at that time.
527.
So, once again, for the month of August 17, there's $208,000 in change that's not accounted for on the documents that have been presented to the board. And obviously, I'm very concerned about that. I might note that the September figures that were given here don't provide any clue as to where the $208,000 might be. So those are my questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Would you like me to comment?
Yes, please.
I appreciate your phone call last night because I started going through the numbers, and I've spent the last couple days with accountants and bookkeepers trying to figure out some of these answers and work on the audit. And I don't have any answers at this point. What we have done is I've pulled all the monthly reports for the year prior to the June 2017 numbers. And I'm going to go through the process that you just went through, try to figure out, is there an error that happened in a month or a couple months, or is this an ongoing issue that seems to accumulate over time? Otherwise, did this $600,000, what you're calling the $658,916, it came up with the same numbers you did, is this something that there was a misposting somewhere, or a couple mispostings somewhere that resulted in this, or there seems to be is this a $10,000 a month thing or a $20,000 a month thing? So we're delving into this. I don't, I got to tell you, I don't know what the answers are to this. I have slightly different numbers than your August numbers for about 20,000 difference, but it certainly doesn't explain the total number. But I agree, that's it's certainly an issue, and we're going to get into it. Yeah. What I'm
over the year 2017, that's about 50,000 a month.
Yeah. So, the one thing I do know from talking to accountants is we do not speak the same language. What I thought I understood, I do not know. So, I'm going to have to get more into that and try to understand that better. But I agree, there's something going on that I don't understand. Yeah.
I'm a power plant guy, so I view the world in terms of gazins and gazouts, and it don't add up to me. So
yeah, same with me, and that so I've got to figure it out. And I agree, it's certainly something that we need to put in language that's understandable to you and me, because I know that we're both numbers guys, and if we're not getting the numbers to add up, then it doesn't make sense to us.
Yeah, thank you very much for your attention to that. And, you know, there's some concern that, well, maybe the auditor would find this, but I would submit that the auditor's job is not to do our books for us. In fact, they're prohibited by law from doing that. They have to be independent of our bookkeeping so that they can render an unbiased opinion on whether the numbers that we provide are accurate. So I would hope that our accounting can do the job that is necessary and find what's going on here and give us a rational explanation in the short term.
I don't know whether it would help at all, but at the OCSD, we look at the entire budget on a quarterly basis. Not just one part of it, just not just, but yeah.
These are monthly reports.
Right. They're
yeah, but I'm saying.
But Ms. White, Director White's correct. When I was here before, it's kind of more traditional government-wise to do a quarterly look at your budget and make adjustments based on what you find out on based on your expenditures and what's going on.
Without any further board action, this will be followed up, or do you need board action, or is this just a report to file?
These are just to be filed, but we are following up because that's our job.
Yeah. Public comment, yes.
Julie Tacker, but I can't help notice that your audit is behind the 2016, which now it looks like 17 is also going to be delayed because you can't proceed with these kinds of questions. As I recall, there was some prepaid CalPERS. There was an attempt to prepay the cogeneration project. The bank gave the check back. They wanted their interest. They wanted their interest payments. You've gotten a letter from Jim Erb, the county controller auditor. I don't know that the district has responded. I just think that I appreciate this very much. Thank you for doing this. It's nice to see it explained like this because, as we heard some months ago, there were discrepancies. There's discrepancies over and over. People from the public, Mayor Hill, kept bringing it up, and Mr. Huebner asked him where he got his numbers. Where'd you get your numbers? They're your numbers. So that was bizarre. This is the Huebner era, and it's just a lot of money to be missing. I'm not saying it's missing. It's just not accounted for. And surely we'll find it. But I think some of the turnover in the office is going to be part of the problem. And I don't know that you have a government accountant in there. I think you do have a CPA with Ms. Russo, but she's not in government accounting. So you might just simply need to find somebody who is an expert in these matters. And then research some of the prepayments. There were some big budget adjustments last year, taking the digester out of sync and moving it up, taking money from different funds. There was a lot of consternation over using Fund 20. So all of these questions that were asked at the time, just in my mind, seem to have come to fruition in that there's an accounting error.
I feel like I've been through this presentation before in Oceano with Mr. Hill. I'm just missing the little ship, but the triangles are nice. Like you said, it could be a one-time problem. It could be over a period of time problem. But yes, the plant was under Mr. Huebner part of that time. It was also under a person who had never been an administrator. And we're signing contracts left and right. And, you know, and big pieces were breaking at that plant. And RFPs went out. And then you have, you know, of course, legal being higher, right? And then you have settlements. So I don't know if the settlements have been in there, but you also had a bookkeeper named Amy Simpson who prepared all those financials, who supposedly entered them into the Quicken Books or whatever they were using at the current time. And she prepared those documents for the board. So you might want to have a discussion with somebody who was actually preparing it. But I think it's within one of the contracts that were just quickly signed and sent away.
Thank you.
Colleen Kugel. Again, those are assumptions. Everything needs to be investigated. Everything needs to be checked out, as Mr. Sweet said. No one should be adding anything to that conversation except checking out those financials, period. You don't blame anybody. You don't do anything else. You find out the investigative reasons for it, and then you correct it. That's all that needs to be done, not back, forward. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. I believe we can move on to item six, action items. 6A, discussion and consideration of approval to amend the Michael J. Nutley & Associates, Inc. agreement.
Thank you. Good evening, members of the board and the public. The contract for, we're asking that the contract for general engineering services with MK & Associates be amended to increase the total contract limit from $100,000 to $150,000. There are a variety of services that we have used MKN for. They are right here in Arroyo Grande, and we can use them for projects that seem to come up when we need to instantaneously make a response. They have performed their front-end documents, our contract general specifications. They've provided us recycled water support in regards to the RGSP project. That is a regional project that's going forth, and sometimes we need to have some quick engineering answers. They've worked on our GIS implementation support. We talked about the primary digester cleaning design, which was moved up, and they were prepared to move on that. We have a number of projects which we need continued assistance on. One that, for instance, just came up yesterday. If those of you who have driven on the freshly paved Valley Road may notice that the manholes that were there have been paved over. Well, those belong to us, and we need to have those raised. And to get that done quickly, hopefully prior to winter coming on, that's the type of thing we would ask Mr. Nunley's firm to perform for us so that we could respond in a manner that would help the district to do its job, basically. Other work that they are working on for us is there's a structural evaluation of the digester, which is now clean, but there has to be, once you clean these things every 7 to 8 years, you need to take a look and make sure they're structurally sound, and that's ongoing. And when, if you find something needs to be fixed, you need somebody to write an engineering design for fixing that. So that's something they're also doing for us. So if there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer those or make an attempt at answering those for you.
You mentioned extending the contract to January 31, 2019. What is the termination date in the contract now?
It was actually 2017, January of 2017.
Oh.
So it was already out of date.
So does that mean they have been doing their the contract worked on without contract for the
A contract.
Fiscal year?
The termination date on the contract, they were not working within the time specified in the contract. But quite frankly, I don't think we knew it when we came on, and
yes.
They'd already performed the work, and we got into it and discovered that we need to amend that to bring the contract up to its appropriate date.
Right. Thank you.
Mr. Hill?
Yeah, if there's no other questions.
Respond to the contract date real quick.
Yeah, sure.
The clause in the contract says that the contract date can be extended by mutual agreement, and it was an agreement that had been signed by the district, originally the interim district administrator back at the time. And so, you know, we just agreed to continue working under it. It's something that should have been formally adopted, though.
But there was a verbal agreement.
That's correct.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Hill.
Just with respect to the Valley Road paving, is that the Southern California Gas project that's repaved Valley Road?
The county... I don't know what the exchange of money is. I know the county, it was under a county contract.
Yeah. So I know the typical practice, I think, is to pave over manholes and then raise them up to the level of the paving so that the street is flush when it's done. So hopefully that's something that's in process, and we won't see a bill for that service.
Actually, we are responsible for raising
the
manholes.
Okay.
What happened was because what happens is if they don't notify you, then there's a discussion that gets to occur about who's responsible for raising those. They did, in fact, or at least they said they notified us and provided us documentation that they notified us. When you get notified, that gives you a chance to do some design effort and anticipation for that. But apparently, we were not aware of that notification, and I think we became aware that we had an issue when they were paved over.
Right. A couple other comments. Part of the services that are under this contract is contract management for various projects that the district engages in, and I've long been an advocate of having an employee of the district or a responsible contractor with duties to the district for project management of some pretty significant projects that we engage in from time to time. Primary digester cleaning is one. The bar screen is another, and I'm not sure of the responsibility for oversight of the bar screen project. I note that it says in the back that the cost of the services and additional anticipated general engineering services were not anticipated at the time the budget was approved. That was 3 months ago. So I'm just wondering if that oversight, but I do appreciate Mr. Nunley's work, and I again support the need that the district has for project management and contract oversight for the projects that we have. So I'm interested, of course, in public comment. After that, we would vote.
I was just going to say that somewhere along the line, it looks like we need to make a budget amendment, a budget adjustment.
Yes, I'm proposing that we would bring that back next time. There's other services that have been derived out of that line item, which I don't think we envisioned at the time of the budget even needing, and me and Mr. Karp, quite frankly. And so we need to take a look at where that adjustment needs to be moved.
And this may be one of the links to the other challenge that things are going on in incorrect directions or unanticipated directions. Yes, I will call for public comment. Thank you, Mr. Hill.
Julie Tacker, and I'm not 100% sure that Mr. Nunley had to compete for the original contract, and I'm an advocate for that. I believe that every contractor, certainly when you've entered into some longevity, which we have, there needs to be competition at some point. Now is not the time because you've got work underway, but you do have Garrington Taylor, Shannon Sweeney, Michael Nunley. Lots of engineers seem to be coming and going from the district doing different things. Perhaps it is time, as you seek to steady your ship, that you have a district engineer that is just your go-to person on all matters. I do believe that, and I apologize to the people in the room who suggest we shouldn't bring up the past, but the fact is that some of the work that Mr. Nunley's done recently was because you have not had an experienced chief plant operator that could have done digester cleaning, could have done a good portion of some of this contract management, some of the work, someone with experience. So that's how we get here. That's how we exceed budgets, is because we put an experienced licensed operator on administrative leave and paid him to stay home. I bet there was a notification. I thought for the manholes that that's what the county does. And I guess it would have been nice to have... I'm sure that also is reflective of the upset in administration and in your operator or your chief plant operator, because those are the things that they're supposed to be taking care or be watching for. People who live in your district know that roads are going to be closed or paved. They hear about that. They pay attention if it's going to go over your collection lines. The fact that the contract became stale in that it expired in January of 17, that was Mr. Huebner's responsibility. It reminds me of one of the contracts that Lieber Cassidy Whitmore charged Mr. Hill with an allegation or whatever, you know. Mr. Hill found a contract that was out of date, and he alerted legal counsel, and he got in trouble for it. He's not in trouble. He didn't do anything wrong. He did the right thing. So in this case, somebody didn't do the right thing.
Mary Lou Siasciano, I too have been coming to these meetings for a long time, and I think that digester was scheduled to be cleaned in 2013, and we have to now kind of move into a crisis mode, because whoever was the plant manager in 2013 put it on the back burner and didn't handle it. I'd like to ask the board, and if I have to put it in a public records, I guess I'll just compete with Ms. Tackard's public records, but I'd like to know when the plant was notified that these manholes needed to be raised because the road needed to be repaired. Do we have any sense of a date, a year? So,
I'll ask... I'll wait for her to finish, and then you can...
Okay, thank
you. If
you'll
ask me to respond after that.
Yeah. Okay, so we're having to increase Mr. Nunley's contract once again because we had a supervisor who just deferred the maintenance.
If I could briefly respond to that. Just for the record, the digester cleaning was included in the preliminary 2016 budget, but was removed by the administrator at the time in the final budget.
Mr. Sweet, would you like to answer the question on the manholes?
I believe the notification was either late June or early July of this year.
Thank you. I might add that the county has failed to notify Oceano on two cases where they have repaved roads and they have buried our manholes. That's just for the record.
It can happen.
Yes, it can happen.
And I was hoping it happened in this case, but they apparently have records.
I would suggest that come January in 2019, we look at redoing some of these contracts and calling for bids, or before that time, look at the way the engineering services are being handled.
Now, there's a number of ways to do that. One of the ways that may work for this district is you put a list of qualified engineering firms together and you just try to rotate that list around. That doesn't always work because some firms are better at certain things. That is a fairly common way that it's done, and that may provide the district with the most options. I will say that this district also has employed both Gary and Taylor and Shannon Sweeney. I wouldn't ask Shannon Sweeney to do work. I'd ask Gary and Taylor to do, I have to say. it's a totally different. I wouldn't ask Gary Taylor to do the type of work Shannon Sweeney does, but that's so you have to be keep in mind that they each firm has some types of specialty they would do.
Thank you. I suppose we should entertain a motion. This is an action item.
I'll move that the contract for general engineering services with MKN and Associates be amended to increase the total contract limit from $100,000 to $150,000 and extend the termination date to January 31st, 2019.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Director Hill?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to action items 6B, technical consultants and plant operations reports.
Sure, I'd like to take a moment of your time to highlight activities that are that have been accomplished during this time or are ongoing and it may be of interest to the board. The Cherry Avenue Sewer Bridge is complete. Gehring Taylor was, Brow Construction was the contractor. Gehring Taylor was the prepared the design and performed construction management, and they submitted a complete report today on the project. The Edwards project, the contractor, manufacturer, supplier met with us on site with MKN, who's doing the construction management, and they developed a plan to bring the project into spec. I'll not go too much into it because it's not a pretty thing.
My question on that, if I might, that says the mechanical bar screen status is operational. Is that euphemistic?
It's operational, but it's not functioning.
It's just not working.
In one way, it's operating in such a manner that it it's extracting way too much. It's extracting product it shouldn't extract. Let's just put it that way. And that's creating a problem. So we're trying to get it to sort that product in the way that it's specified. The redundancy project, we're working with Kennedy Jenks on what we call Technical Memo 7, which evaluates conceptual alternatives for how the treatment process for our plant could be upgraded as part of the redundancy project, such that the effluent could be more easily used by the RGSP. Basically, it explores using a membrane bioreactor, and the membrane bioreactor replaces a clarifier. So we're working to see if that will work from both an operational and economic standpoint. And hopefully within the next month, we'll be bringing that to the board for their knowledge and presentation. The primary digester, the cleaning is complete. The structural evaluation is underway. And once the structural evaluation is complete, there'll be contracts. We'll do what it takes to fix whatever is needed to be fixed within the digester. We're hoping it's not down for long, because the second digester is probably very full. So once we get the digester, primary digester up and running, we'll be looking to clean the secondary digester. The executive committee, the board had asked that we look at forming an executive committee. Last Friday, we met with the city managers of AG and Grover and the manager of Oceano for lunch, and we discussed the RGSP and possible governance issues. I think governance was one of those things that the board had directed me to speak to the other managers about. The audit. The audit is, as Mr. Carper and I have transitioned from operational issues, now we're, and we think we've got the plant starting to get back to where it needs to be and things operating, or at least on the path to getting completion, we're starting to center more on the financial issues, which we spoke a little bit about. And I spent 2 days in with the district bookkeeper and auditors to get the audit work to completion. Items mostly revolve around pension, unfunded liability, and developing info that quite frankly, I didn't know what they were asking for. I don't know accountant talk well enough to know what they're asking for. But I think we have a clear understanding of what they're asking for, and it's probably not realistic to expect that we'll get the audit completed prior to December. We're shooting for Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving to me sounds like the first meeting in December. So that's, I haven't heard anybody say anything about they see anything that troubles them. I think it's a matter of sorting through numbers to get them the numbers that they're looking for. Along with those items, we've been looking for a way to address questions about upcoming agenda items. So it's been suggested that the way to do that is to do that during the director's report. And so there are a couple agenda items I wanted to bring to the board for consideration. One is options for board's consideration for filling the district manager's position. If you would like for us to discuss options on that, we certainly can bring back an item for that. The other item is consideration of investigation of Chairman Scholes as per what Ms. Thacker mentioned tonight. So those are the two items that I would like some direction on in regards to possible board items. So if there's a motion for whatever items you so choose or combination thereof, that's certainly a way to approach this. I do not believe that there's public input allowed on this item because it is not on the agenda.
Well, I would certainly think that one of our big priorities is filling the district administration job as well and as quickly as we can.
I have a question. I can't ask questions other than I would just wonder what the process was last time.
The process was, I was here. We did bring options back to the board's consideration. There were a number of possible options. The board, I think, chose to do an interim and then later chose to pursue a full-time manager is how that, I think, worked last time. So I don't think that there's an interim option available because there's not anybody on staff that I don't think would be able or willing to fill that position in the interim. But we can look at, there's different options. For instance, do you want to do a full-time person? Do you want to do a part-time person? Do you want to hire a firm to do that? So there was a list of options for consideration. Once an option is chosen, then we certainly would pursue whatever option you chose.
Madam Chair, I would request that we agendize for the next meeting a full vetting and discussion of the various options that Mr. Sweet might present.
I would certainly support that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
With respect to your other question, I don't know that an investigation is necessary because Mr. Scholes indicated that he had participated in negotiations with line employees on three separate occasions, so possibly a consideration of censure could be put on the agenda for that. I have some other questions on the report.
On the, okay, sure. Certainly, do you want to act on? Yes, they can.
I would just request placing that on the agenda as well.
Okay, well, I need to have.
I would not support that.
Okay.
Nor would I.
Okay. So at this point, I have options for board's consideration for filling district manager's position as an item to be brought forth for the next item. And you had further questions on the
on the report. the membrane bioreactor process is that an option to the activated sludge process that we've considered heretofore, or would that be an auxiliary part of the process?
It'd be an auxiliary part of the process.
And that would facilitate the groundwater sustainability project in the interim, I guess?
Correct. I think what our concern is that an MBR, it would replace a clarifier in the process. But it would go on the end of the activated sludge process. The activated sludge process would act just slightly differently in preparation for the MBR project. I think our concern is what cost is that to the district, and an MBR is fairly expensive to run, so we're curious about what the increased operational cost would be.
Okay, thank you. And then financing for the redundancy project, do we have someone who's assigned to follow that, and how is that moving forward? I think that's going to be a critical next step to any of this for the discussion.
As we spoke about a couple times, there are some questions that the USADA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, had, which the states also decided they want with the state revolving fund, and that is part of MKN's. MKN has been doing that under the General Services Agreement, and that is one of the items that would be continued under the amended General Services Agreement.
Okay. Then the infiltration and inflow study. Again, this talks about a multi-phase study. I'm curious as to what the multiple phases are and where we are with that, because we're coming up on the rainy season.
The interesting thing about a I&I study is it's very hard to do without being in the rainy season. So when you say a multiple phase study, what that means is you start downstream at your big pipes, and you move upstream until you find out where your inflows seem to increase. And somewhere upstream of that is where your issue lies. So multiple phases, you move your meters up the line.
Well, during our last rainy season, which was fairly significant, I asked about this project on multiple occasions, and just seemed to watch a great opportunity fade into the sunset. And I hope that we're not going to have that happen again, such that we can be prepared for the rainy season this year and be prepared with flow measurement devices and whatever's necessary to make sure that we get the INI study well underway when the opportunity presents itself.
One thing I'd like to, for your consideration here, because I've been in this business a while. What occurred was increased flows. We never exceeded our inflow permitted inflows. So the question then comes, what is the damage to the operation of the system? And quite frankly, there did not seem to be a damage to the system from that. What may very well happen is we will move upstream, because our lines are just trunk lines, and we will probably find that one of your agencies has infiltration in their lines. And then I'm going to be in a spot where the district has no power to make anything happen upstream of that. We can certainly request the studies be done, and they go through the same process of moving upstream until they find that answer. But the damage to the plant itself is at best minimal. We haven't exceeded our permit capacities. So somewhere along the way, I would certainly may ask the board to consider the engineering value of proceeding with this project. So that's something that I'd at least like to present, not now, but at some other time.
Well, what I'd certainly like to assure everyone is that the district's trunk lines are not adversely affected. I would expect that infiltration brings sand and other, potentially other materials into the sanitary sewer that's not intended to be there. And another concern is when you have a rainy season, you get inflow. When you have a dry season, by implications, there could be outflows. And so I think we owe it to the residents and the ratepayers here to assure them that our system is in proper operating condition and that we are not contributing to unaccounted.
I understand, but I know what looks, but I think if we have this offline, engineer to engineer, I can show you why I feel that way and their studies. And
I'd certainly be willing to entertain that.
You bet. I think that the outflow from the system is usually not an issue if you got an inflow problem. But the best thing for a line, to clean a line, is sometimes for it to flow full and fast. And, get transported material under those conditions, which actually may help with some of those issues. But this is engineering engineering talk, and I'm sorry if I'm boring the rest of the
Are we discussing gravity?
Well, it's just the fuller a line is, the faster the flows are in that line.
And it can scrub the
faster
inside.
The flows are, the better it can move material through the line.
Then you didn't specifically mention the plant operations report, but my question there is, when will the lab be operational again? Because we've got the admin building effectively complete.
Yes, I'm told it's within 30 days. That includes being operational, because the equipment has to be moved in, and then it has to be run and certified. One issue I wanted to bring to your attention on the plant operations report is the TSS. There is only one TSS shown, and it's at 46. So in October, for our average is the one at this point of 46, and that's over our monthly average amount. Since that time, we've collected two additional samples, and they are 27 and 29, which makes our average now 34. So we're well within permit limits there.
Okay. That, I think, those are my questions.
And I'm not sure we didn't skip a public comment period.
For the report.
Julie Tacker, and I too was curious about the lab. I'm more curious about how the district failed to meet the weekly effluent monitoring. Is that because you don't have your lab? I don't know. How do you skip that? You mentioned the MBR process on the end of the activated sludge. First question, activated sludge. Do you have, now that Mr. Clemens is gone, anybody on staff that has experience with activated sludge?
It's a 3 requirement. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I was surprised you were going to answer me. Okay, so the 3s that you have, I don't know that if they got them while working
Madam
there.
Madam Chair, so that we don't carry on a discussion
right.
here, I'll keep track of the questions as best I can.
Okay, so activated sludge, I want to know that you have operators that can work with a brand new activated sludge system. The MBR addition is very expensive to operate. And that line item, the cost of that, had better go to the purveyors of water who want that clean water and not on the backs of the sanitation district. So when we're talking about governance, we're going to talk about big money. The system itself is expensive to install, but it's going to be staggering to watch the electric bill on an MBR. I don't like how you just handled the ideas for future agenda items, because those could have been part of your report. I know that you've been considering those items, and the references to the investigation of Mayor Scholes. Government Code Section 53298A says, no local agency officer, manager, or supervisor shall take a reprisal action against any employee or applicant for employment who files a complaint pursuant to Section 53297. Mr. Scholes broke the law, and you are tired of censure. I heard you say it, Karen. And it's not about being tired. And I don't think Mr. Hill's even suggesting that a censure is enough. Mr. Hill didn't break the law, and you censured him. Mr. Scholes has broken the law, and there are consequences with the law. So your district can take it on, or the district attorney can take it on. I don't care how tired you are of it today, but it just escalates if you have to go to law enforcement. So why don't you just nip it in the bud, take care of it in-house, and it's over. Those are my thoughts on it.
Thank you.
And questions?
I'll try to aggregate those during the comment process and save them for the end.
Is this public comment?
Yes.
Okay, Mary Lucy, public comment. I'm glad that you're moving forward and starting to deal more with the plant versus, you know, Mr. Scholes meeting with one employee, which I was so glad to hear Ms. Tackard state the codes, because Mr. Hill had an inappropriate relationship with an employee, so, and that happened 50, 60, 100, 200, continues to happen today with multiple employees. So, yeah, stop the investigation, start moving forward. You have one focus, and that's the plan. One charge, that's the plan. You're not a city, you don't have a bunch of focuses. You know, you don't have a bunch of principles. You have one thing, manage the sewer plant. You know, so if we can just start moving in that direction, enough with the investigations, because they didn't turn out how people wanted to turn out, so be it, you know. But thank you for bringing it down and bringing it back to the project.
Colleen Kubel, again, assumptions. It gets really tiring. We want to go forward. We want to do everything else. Those things need to stop. And all that Mayor Hill was asking for is to agendize a problem that he saw. Not make a decision. Put it on the agenda. And that's all that he was asking for. And you voted no. He openly confessed to breaking the law. That's why I don't understand how you can vote the way you voted. And that's all he was asking for. Put it on the agenda. Let everybody talk about it. Let it be public. That's all he was asking for. And it was a no. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. I don't support putting it on the agenda. Thank you.
Okay, moving forward. Jim, you got those questions lined up?
Yes, I have two recorded. One is, do we have staff with experience with an activated sludge process?
We do not. I'm not sure that Mr. Clemens' experience with activated sludge was very extensive. I think his experience was with some small commercial facilities that, anyway.
And then second is for the MDR, you already indicated that there would be significant cost with that, and I think that if we, I would expect if you bring forward a discussion of that, that that would include the significant costs and possibly who might be responsible for those.
Well, you know me too well because you know I'm cheap. There certainly will, our discussion will talk about the operations and but center on the cost. In regards to the governance issue on RGSP, I think that's a giant issue that I'm not going to be able to address in a technical memo. And that, I think, well, Ms. Tucker and I don't always agree. We are pretty close on this one. So the costs are significant, and whether those costs are borne by the water purveyors or the treatment plant is certainly a hot topic for discussion.
And I think all probably there's numbers of jurisdictions that are discussing and considering those kinds of things. I don't know of anything that's been settled at this point. But
no, as far as I can tell, there's nothing been settled.
Well,
thank you.
And I would say, but it still needs to be looked at. It's nothing we skip over.
No. It's something that is worthy of discussion, but I think we're just getting to the very first part of that discussion.
And I have one other question. Who bought lunch when all the managers got together?
I did, not the district. I did. The federal government pays for half when you write.
Thank you. Oh, I've now lost my agenda again. We completed, we're on to item 7, board member communications. I have nothing.
I have nothing.
None.
Okay, moving on to 8, closed session. If our legal counsel will report.
Thank you, Chair White. The board will recess into a closed session for a conference with labor negotiators, agency designated representatives, Rick Sweet and Susan Wells. Employee organization is SEIU. Thank you.